psychiatrist asked, "So, Joe, is this strong economy you talk about in the room with us right now?" Daily Show starts now.
Law permitting $20 an hour for most fast food workers went into effect today. That law passed in 2023 by Democrats in the state legislature, who acknowledged many of the more than 500,000 fast food workers in the state were adults supporting their families. The new minimum wage is expected to give more financial security to a historically low-paying career.
I was so caught off guard. We had no type of notice, no type of warning even. The owner had told me Happy Easter.
I wish it would have been at least a notice. Like, it's like, "Hey, by the way, we're going to be closing this month," whatever. It's like, we would have had time to look for jobs, but he didn't give us that chance.
All right, welcome, Kay Daly Show. Last hour back here with you. And, of course, I played this in the first hour, too. And it's interesting. It was an interesting clip. If you listen to the whole clip, there were a lot of the youth kind of feeling more entitled to have a job. And of course, you know, when you get fired, you don't really get any notice. And so most people that are in a position to get laid off or get fired don't have notice at all. And so it's not like it was unique to the situation. We're going to see a lot more of it with automation. We're going to see a lot more of it. And when, in that clip, he said it was a career, the newscaster. It's not a career, as we said in the last hour, not a career. But we are going to see things happen with employment. We have Mel Madison on with us. And of course, Mel, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello, Kate. How are you doing today?
I'm good. So let's talk about the employment report. I know, you know, everyone's affected by debt. Everyone's affected by employment. So what are you seeing right now with what was released on Friday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The monthly jobs report, so this is the jobs data for March, came out on Friday from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So, of course, everything you have to take with a grain of salt. But even with the numbers that the government provides, it still paints a very bleak picture. And yet, you know, I found as I was flipping through some of the media, this attempt to really spin actually immigration is kind of this saving grace for the U.S. economy, that this mass immigration, yes, there's been crime, they argue, but on the other hand, you also have millions of people joining the workforce, and this is, you know, really a great thing for the American economy and our growth. And so what I wanted to do is basically answer those claims that are being made by the mainstream media, which I think are ridiculous and don't take into account what's actually happening. And I think, you know, the main thing is that a lot of this, I think, also is going to relate back to what you were talking about the last hour, which is inflation and the use of immigration to try to at least keep a lid on wage inflation, and how the elites are scrambling to try to find ways, whether it's, you know, releasing oil from the petroleum reserves, letting in illegal immigrants, like this whole inflation situation is getting out of control. And, you know, I'm saying that as a market and economics guy, and I'm watching it. I'm seeing things I've never seen before. I'm seeing gold go up every day, basically.
Right.
You know, I'm seeing commodities going crazy. We had cocoa at $10,000 a ton. I mean, it never goes there. If you got any hollow chocolate Easter egg bunnies a couple weeks ago, that's why. Because, you know, these commodity prices. And so they can't do that much about commodity prices, but they can do stuff about wages. And not only that, but in the government's own numbers, it's ridiculous how many jobs have been lost in the last year by native-born Americans and how many jobs have been gained by foreign-born. And that's the way they break it out in the numbers.
That is so true. The visas are way up, yes. And by the way, that intro clip was California. They raised their minimum wage to $20 for fast food, which driving people out of California, for sure. Uncle Milty?
I'm just curious, as I look at the chart you sent, Mel, what type of an economic effect does it have when there's a 1.1 million increase in non-working foreign-born?
Whew, it's huge.
Exactly. So for the listeners, like the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they break out different things. They do not track illegal versus legal. The way they break it down is foreign born versus native born. Uh-huh. And that gives you a viewpoint into it. So some of these are going to be visa holders, but Milt, to your point, you know, visa holders come here because they have jobs.
Right.
Yeah. So when you're seeing foreign born
1.1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or 1.5.
So unemployed went up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The unemployed went up 1.1 million. So this is this is people coming. They're immigrating. They don't have visas. They don't have jobs. And how much it's increasing. So when you look at it, they tell you, okay, here's how many foreign born people of working age are in the United States. And how much has that increased? And year over year, it went up by 2.5 million. Of those 2.5 million, 1.5 went into the workforce and 1.3 got jobs. So you have 2.5 million new foreign workers and 1.3 million are working. The rest aren't. And so that strain on the social safety net, on healthcare. And interestingly, in the jobs report, the number one gain in jobs sector was healthcare. Right. 72,000 new workers just in the month in health. So when you look at where the jobs coming from, they're going into three areas: healthcare, government was up 71,000, and construction. And of course, we know there was, you know, the government pays for, you know, all kinds of construction. So these
housing
jobs are not only going to foreign born, but they're being paid by the government.
And the not affordable government taxpayer funded housing. Yes. Construction is probably booming in that industry right now.
Exactly, because people can't afford houses, people can't pay the mortgage rates, people don't have the savings, people are, you know, basically unable to pay the rents that have gone up because of the inflation that they've caused. And so they're trying to figure out a way to essentially save this whole thing before it collapses. And that's a little bit of really, like, you know, where we're heading with this. I think we're heading towards this inflation collapse, and that's what the stock market is telling you. That's what the gold market is telling you. So when you're looking at these things, they keep going up every day, because if we're going to get, let's say, over the next few years, an average of 5-10% inflation start happening, the stock market is priced in nominal terms. So if Apple makes 10% on selling phones, and those phones go from $1,000 to $2,000, instead of making $100 a phone, they make $200 a phone. And so the earnings of corporations will go up in nominal terms, not in real terms. And that's why the stock market has to go up. So that's why you're seeing gold go skyrocket and the stock market, because the market participants are seeing a long stretch of high inflation coming for as far as the eye can see.
Ouch. This doesn't look good. It really doesn't look good for us. I wish we had better news. But the amount of foreign jobs is creepy, because it's creeping in. And we don't realize that on our right is who fought for this. I remember the senator from Utah, from the state I'm in, Senator Hatch, passed away now, but he was the one that fought for these visas and wanted these jobs for foreigners to come in and take these jobs. This fraudulent administration loves the idea of foreigners on our soil at all costs, no matter how they come, right? Illegally, through visas, whatever the case, to inch out the American worker. And we're starting to see that. And how much of this is going to go to automation?
Yeah. And I think it's not even just the administration. It's essentially I think we kind of live in basically a plutocracy, you know, a government run by the wealthy. And so it's the establishment Republicans and the establishment Democrats, both. It's the Hillary Clinton wing of the Democratic Party, and it's the, Mitt Romney wing of the Republican Party, who is really pushing for this. And I mean, this is the same thing that's been going on forever. I mean, this is why people like Zuckerberg and, you know, you say, well, Facebook's not hiring, you know, illegal immigrants, but you mentioned visas, and they also don't want to pay, you know, an American guy who's or gal who's very mm-hmm. skilled in coding and programming what they want to get, what they think is fair. They'd rather bring someone from Eastern Europe or India who's just happy to be here, mm-hmm. who can be kicked out at any time, and basically will take whatever Facebook wants to give them. Meanwhile, Facebook books record profits and the stock mm-hmm. soars to over $500 a right. share. So this is a corporate and other elite type manufactured thing. The Biden administration is implementing it and carrying it out. Mm-hmm. But I think it's much wider and deeper
yes,
than that. And
it
goes back to that deep economic state and the international cabal and what's really, you know, driving the world economy right now and our politics.
I completely agree with you. It's both sides of the aisle responsible for this. And what are we going to do about it? What else are you noticing, Mel, mm-hmm. Madison?
Yeah, and I think, you know, one thing that I thought would be interesting just to do, because just to prove that last point a little bit, was, you know, if these people really wanted to be socialists, like, socialists actually are some of the biggest believers in not importing cheap labor. So if you go back in history, it was always the labor unions were the ones that were against immigration. It was the NAFTA, you know, globalists who were like, oh, open up the borders and then let's do it. It was. And so this is like kind of proof that this is a hijacking of both sides by this corporate plutocracy to bring in these cheap labor because they're so worried about inflation. And this is mm-hmm. this is a quote from an economist in 1870, April 9th, so 154 years ago to the day. And it's talking about Ireland and England. And it's like Ireland constantly sends her surplus labor to the English market and thus forces down wages and lowers the material and moral position of the English working class. And he goes on to talk about how it also creates an animosity between the working class of England and the working class of Ireland. And he ends saying, this antagonism is artificially kept alive by the interested parties, the press, the pulpit, the papers, and in short, all the means at the disposal of the ruling class. Mm-hmm. This is their secret by which they maintain their power, and they are aware of it. Now, the economist who wrote that in 1870 was Karl Marx. So this is what you have to understand. The socialists, this is not a socialist. The left is not socialist. So the left is a hijacked arm of this plutocracy. They're masking it in socialism because it serves these global elites' goals. And the Republicans are in the same way. And the people that are a threat to that, mm-hmm. whether it would be a Bernie Sanders or a Donald Trump, those are the people that have to be silenced.
Interesting. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
There you go.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain.
Hey, everybody, just a quick note about gold prices. I just wanted everyone to realize that April 5th, it was gold at $2,305 record day before compared to $2,271. Gold is going up, and as we had our guest on from Birch Gold describing last, it's not actually kept up with the inflation amount, so it should be probably around $5,000 an ounce, but it's not. This is the time. Get in before it achieves that. You're going to want to make sure that you have gold and silver on hand. Silver's up today. Just make sure and get in and get to Birch Gold. Birch Gold is who I trust. So I'm telling you, this is who I trust. Get your gold and silver from them. Highly trusted Ron Paul, Steve Bannon, even Donald Trump Jr. go to Birch Gold and are very outspoken about that. I mean, they have the 5-star ratings and been over 20 years in the marketplace. They're also very red-pilled. So this would be an excellent time before it really goes up. It's only going to go up. That's the prediction. If gold is now in a bull market, what is everyone going to pretend bear levels are, right? And we have to really look at the solid data. Protect yourself against inflation, against deflation, against economic uncertainty right now. Just at least text that number and get the information, 989898, and text my name, Kate, as the message. Thanks, you guys.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com. And a little bit more with Mel. We'll take your calls, too. Of course, get to my great sponsors. Text Birch Gold and get your gold and silver from them. Be varied in what you've got. 989898 is the phone number on your phone. Text them, but text them my name, K-A-T-E, Kate. You'll love this. And get out of debt, donewithdebt.com. Free yourself of that. I know that it's taking a toll on people because I think people are pretty bogged down with worry. And you should be. There's a lot going on right now that's cementing a lot of steps. So, but I know that getting ahead of what we're facing personally can help us a lot too. And feeling a little more peace so that we can tackle what's coming is important. So, Mel Madison joins Uncle Milty and I. And let's talk about Trump for just a moment, because you mentioned Trump on the way out of that clip. So let's talk about Trump for just a moment in this whole scenario.
Sure. Well, I think that Donald Trump represents a huge threat. I think he's somebody who he has the money, he has the access, he has the ticket to be in that elite club if he wanted to be. And he's what I think people in the past would refer to as like a traitor to his class. He's, in another term, he's what might be called a counter elite. But basically, he represents a massive threat to that establishment system. And I think what's interesting is, you know, my personal feeling is that, you know, he wants to do what he says he wants to do, that he wants to try to bring some sanity back. The one concern I have is that it's a very tough row to hoe, even if you hold the White House, and that a lot of what is entrenched right now, whether it's what our future entitlement spending is set, the amount of deficit spending that we're running at, that what it would take in order to really set things back on like a straight and narrow course that would be sustainable in the long run is something that would be so anathema to the powers that be that even being in the White House, like Congress, you know, half of Congress, is bought and paid for. More than half is bought and paid for, and even half on the Republican side. Yep. So it just becomes really hard to envision a way. But what he can do, and Uncle Milty, you brought this up, but what he can do is he can, you know, kind of speak truth to power, if you will, and educate us and you know, bring to us and to every American kind of some of this basic understanding of the corruption of what's wrong. And that alone can be extremely powerful and bring change eventually. But I think it's going to be a tough job. But I think he's getting it started. But it's even if he gets elected, it's not going to be solved in 4 years.
What do you think?
Even though the president really doesn't have the power to really initiate change, he does have the pulpit. And in essence, you know, the way Biden uses the pulpit, he gets up there and disparages the wealthy. They don't pay their fair share. They don't do this. They don't do that. As if he's not one of them. And yet Trump, on the other hand, gets up there and says, yeah, I'm rich too, but I'm not going to take my salary. I don't need it.
What do you think, Mel?
Yeah, exactly. And notice how we talked about what he does have is the pulpit, but how they're taking that away from him.
Yeah.
How he starts talking and they act like they're going to cover his speeches on MSDNC or whatever. And then all of a sudden he gets cut out because they say he's not telling the truth. I mean, they want to take away his pulpit. And I mean, that's why like Elon Musk having Twitter or him having Truth Social or the fact that we have the internet these days. I mean, I could just see if he comes into power again, you know, how they're going to try to clamp down on free speech because they've taken over the established, you know, media, but they're so threatened by this, they're going to have to start working to find ways to shut down even the alternative media, you know, and try to silence this getting out.
Caller, you have 30 seconds. Go.
Yeah, you're, Melty and everybody just made my point that I've been trying to make. The most powerful power that the president has is not even written in the Constitution. It is his ability to articulate principles of constitutional and cultural and religious value. And Trump hasn't spoken out against the IRS. He hasn't spoken out against the Federal Reserve System. He hasn't spoken out against all the unconstitutional executive orders and cabinet level positions and usurpations on the part of the federal government against the state. This tells me that he is part of the problem and not part of the solution.
We'll be right back.
Part of the deep state.
We'll be right back. More on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere. Mel Madison, book Quaz. The book is Quaz. Be right back.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
All right, back here with you. So glad you're with us today. Big welcome to K-Talks in California as well. And so a couple of things. Number one, visit my sponsors like MyPillow and ActivateFIQ.com, even Chaffee. So many wonderful things I've got on the sponsor section in KateDalyRadio.com. KateDalyRadio.com, over 25 million served. Thank you very much. We also have Mel Madison from the book Quaz. You can also go to his website, Mel Madison. I'm saying it with two T's, Madison.com, MelMadison.com for more on what we're talking about, and always enjoy his Tuesday visits to kind of keep up with economy, what he's seeing in jobs, what's going on that affects all of our lives. The UN program I wanted to mention, and I want you to talk about this along with, we can talk about Trump as well. And also we can talk about the fact that the Fed is, Goldman, Amex quietly cutting rates on savings accounts. But we have this UN program called 50 in 5, and they're moving very rapidly on this. I think it's more rapidly than 5 years, but 50 governments accepting digital infrastructure. Total tyranny in place within the next 5 years. And I actually think they're going faster than that. I think they said 5 years to kind of quell people into, oh, it's 5 years from now. No, it's not from now. It's within these 5 years right now. And almost a dozen governments, including numerous corrupt kleptocracies, socialist regimes, have volunteered their populations to serve as first mover, quote unquote, the first movers in this. In the countries so far, it's called 50 in 5. You can check it out. Alex Newman's done some great reports on this. What's your take on the digital infrastructure coming in?
Well, I think that this is symptomatic of huge issues coming to the banking system. And this is ties into inflation. It ties into a term that perhaps some of your listeners have never heard of. I had not heard of it until last year, a term called fiscal dominance. Mm-hmm. I'm going to predict right here that that's going to be a term that is going to become like quantitative easing, something you've never heard of, and eventually it enters the day-to-day. I think, Kate, your show's so early at getting things out there to people. It might not be in the mainstream this year. It might not even be next year. But I think if people remember that term fiscal dominance, it's going to be a term that is going to be very important to people. And it ties into these banks not wanting to pay interest in this way. So fiscal dominance is essentially an economic term referring to a situation that usually occurs in emerging market third world countries right before they head into hyperinflation. And basically what it means is that the country's fiscal, the country's own finances are in such a disarray that the monetary power, which is the central bank in our country, of course, the Federal Reserve, they have no tools in their toolkit that they can use to fight inflation. Because if they do the normal things they would do to fight inflation, like raise interest rates, it will collapse the banking system and it will collapse the federal government because their borrowing costs go too high. And so, like, really simply, it's a situation where, let's say, inflation starts taking off again, which I believe it is, regardless of what kind of number they print in the inflation report tomorrow. And there are reasons for that, because housing is could likely go down and it could look like a good number. But in reality, if you look at gold, you know it's not a good number. But so basically what happens is you get into the situation where inflation starts bubbling up and the central bank wants to raise rates. But when they do, because banks hold so much treasury debt, that the value of that goes down because the debt they own pays like 1% interest. Mm-hmm. And then the borrowing costs of the government go up. So, you know, we won't be able to do what we did in the 70s and 80s. The Federal Reserve, Paul Volcker, he raised the Fed fund rate into double digits. But you can't do that now. If you do that, you crash the system. And the way that, you know, banks, why they can't afford to pay out interest right now is because one of the things that governments do when you start to get into this situation is they stop paying interest to banks on deposits. So banks take our money right now, they give it to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve pays them interest. Some banks give that interest to us, other banks keep that interest and mm-hmm. make profit off of it. The Federal Reserve will need to stop this practice or extremely curtail it in this type of a situation. It could lead to a banking collapse. And it also could precipitate essentially a need for the central bank to be able to automatically control the money supply digitally through central bank digital currencies. So it's all wrapped up into one, and there's a lot in there, but that's the general gist of it.
Uncle Milty?
How dangerous? They talk about the ratio, debt to GDP ratio a lot. And right now, the United States is like, 147% debt to GDP ratio. There's only three countries in the world higher than that. We're in bad shape in that regard. And how does that actually affect what you're saying right now?
Yeah. So not only are we at bad shape currently, but it only has sped up and it only is going to get worse. I've talked many times about the coming bankruptcy of the Social Security Trust Fund, which the Congressional mm-hmm. Budget Office, the CBO, forecasts in 2032. But I think that's optimistic. So that basically we have 100 plus trillion, somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 trillion in unfunded liabilities that we just haven't paid. And so not only do we currently have a high GDP or debt to GDP ratio, but it's forecast to go even higher. And according to the financial report of the United States government from February 16th, 2023, it states under current policy, government debt relative to GDP is projected to reach 566% by 2097. Now, that's a long way away, 2097. But that's just at the current policy, right? Hmm. And all we've been doing is adding deficits and deficits and deficits. And at 566%, I mean, that's still in the lifetime of people being born today, but in 2097. Mm-hmm. But this is going to happen much sooner. This is already happening. This is just the type of unsustainability, because what's going to happen is bond investors, people that buy bonds, are going to start to understand that there's no way that the U.S. government can pay back the mm-hmm. bonds that they have out there without printing money, and that printing money is going to cause inflation, and therefore they're going to want higher rates. And so we're going to have the bond market, the U.S. bond market, essentially on the verge of a collapse. And that's when fiscal dominance comes in, where even if Jay Powell wants to raise rates and fight inflation, he can't. He's going to have to go back to QE and start mm-hmm. buying bonds, because it's the only way to control interest rates and keep the entire banking system from collapse.
Milty?
Could the debt to GDP ratio actually get into the 500% range without a complete collapse happening before it got there?
No way. It is going to happen early. I think I quote that just to give an idea of the unsustainable mm-hmm. path. And,
yeah.
and then what you have to do is you have to say, okay, well, how do we make it sustainable? Mm-hmm. And you realize, you know, we talked about the monthly expenditures and how much of it is just, you know, you have to have basically austerity measures in the United States. And how is that going to happen politically? It's not. You'd have to have politicians and Congress get up there and say, okay, we're going to immediately cut Social Security and Medicare benefits by a third.
Yep.
We are going to immediately raise taxes on income. We're immediately going to raise taxes on corporations. We're immediately going to cut discretionary and defense spending and all the human services programs and Medicaid. We're going to have to cut all of that massively and raise taxes at the same time. But you can't do that. Number one, politically, nobody's going to do that. But number two, we're in such a bad shape right now. This is fiscal dominance. This is where the only way out is inflation. If you do that, what's going to happen is tax receipts are going to plummet because we're going to go into a depression slash recession.
Right.
And all the tax receipts of the government are driven by capital gains on the stock market. Okay. They're driven by income. And those will collapse.
We're going to come right back more with Mel Madison. I'm going to ask him what his crystal ball says for this next year, what he would do in certain circumstances, how to play this smart. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. I've got Uncle Milty here. I've got Mel Madison here because it's Tuesday. He joins us every Tuesday. And I'm gonna have Mel get out his crystal ball. And I know this is only his opinion, but I think this is really important to do because for many, I think when they start to hear about economy, GDP talk, they go, what? And it's excruciating for some, right?
Sure.
I mean, let's be honest, it's hard. It's hard to wrap your number around all these numbers about all the falsified reports, what's actually going on, what they're feeling versus what they say they're supposed to feel. There's just a lot there.
Yeah, and you're talking about a populace that thinks a $20 an hour minimum wage is a great thing.
I know, right? And so this listenership, I mean, I know they are getting it. I just wanted to kind of see, okay, I wanted to give you some quick questions. If somebody wants to buy a home, what would you tell somebody? Where does this sit in 2025 and 26? Why would you tell somebody to get a home now? We're in an election year. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And why?
If they're buying it, if they're buying it to live in, and this is a home that's going to make their family a happier family, and they can afford the payment that they're locking in with a fixed rate mortgage, yes. Because I think that actually interest rates are going to go up over the next 5 to 10 years, and people will look back and say, dang, I missed my chance to lock in a 7% mortgage.
Wow.
If I'm wrong about that and mortgage rates go down to 5% or 4% in the coming years, then they can refinance.
It's a great answer.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
When mortgage rates do go up and you're at a lower rate mortgage, how does that affect the value of the actual property?
Well, what most Americans have as their most really valuable asset is their mortgage right now, because it's essentially free money. I mean, you know, if you borrowed $500,000 at 2.5% and the government is having to pay more than twice that to borrow now. So you have almost like you have a financial asset in your mortgage, and people realize that. That's why they don't want to sell the homes that they're living in, because they have to give up that financial asset. I mean, I could start to see a whole economy start to form of like house swapping, where people that are in Tucson that want to move to Durham, you know, some website connects the people together, and they say, let's swap the house. You keep paying your mortgage, I'll keep paying mine, and let's keep it, because this is all part of this end run that I think is going to happen around the banking system. And this is just more problems that the banking system has. And I think, you know, one thing I would say is that the old saying, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
We have heard time and again, Yellen and Powell years ago say inflation is transitory. Now they come out every week and say inflation is going down.
Yeah.
If you believe them this time, it's on you.
Yep.
Well, amen to that. Affordable housing's on the rise. What would you tell people to invest in? Like, say, somebody wants to get really smart about what's coming. What do you see being something to get in on? Like, what do you think people should invest in? I know it's a crystal ball. Well, this is solely your opinion. I get it. Yeah.
It's a crystal ball. Mm-hmm. And my one big caveat is I'm talking about massive long-term macroeconomic trends. So please don't complain tomorrow if the CPI report comes out a little low and the stock market goes down or something happens. And they say, Melda, but I'm talking about like come back to me in a few months and see if anything that I'm saying is right. And I've been saying for a few months, buy gold. I've been saying the stock market's not going to crash, that they're creating a bubble. It's going to go up. These are the things that I've been saying. Housing is going to go up. We are on the verge of basically, and this is contrary, this is not consensus, this is my own opinion, and this is not financial advice. I think we're on the verge and we're starting to see what I call an everything bubble. We're going to see home prices skyrocket. We're going to see the stock market continue to skyrocket. We're going to see gold and silver skyrocket. Gold is going to go up more than the stock market. It's going to go up more than houses. But this is going to only be in nominal terms because we're going to start to enter, as I said, a sustained period of 5 to 10% inflation. And so this is going to be good for any asset that actually produces revenue or is a real asset. What you don't want to be in is two things. You don't want to be in dollars because the dollar's crashing, and you don't want to be in long-term debt. You don't want to buy, think you're being safe. If you're a retiree and you have a bunch of money in bonds that are 20-year bonds that are paying, you know, 4% and you think that's going to be good, be careful. You're out there betting on inflation coming down.
Okay. I would invest probably gold and food supply. I would get into your food supply, preparewithkate.com, also Birch Gold for gold, but food supply, we're going to see food dwindle. We're going to see a lot more problems with our food supply. Just watch. That's what my crystal ball says. What about you, Uncle Tim?
For me, I'm going to invent a word that describes my opinion. Diversify.
Yes, indeed. Diversify. Make sure you have real food on hand and that you can grow things. Even if you use the inside growing machines, whatever it takes, I think food supply is going to get hit in major ways because they want to be able to control the food supply with fakery. What do you have on that, Mel?
Here's the wild card in all of this is if we're entering what I think we're entering, the best case scenario is prolonged and severe inflation. The worst case scenario is that it creates civil unrest and we start to get a breakdown in the actual fabric of our society. And then we could see breakdowns in supply chains, more conflicts, more war, food shortages, lockdowns, military law. Like, that's the worst case. My best case scenario is 10% mortgage rates are coming. My worst case scenario is we're essentially heading into something on the level of World War II. I think we'd be in World War III, except for the fact that we have nuclear weapons right now. I mean, that's the only reason we're not. We're in a covert war right now with Russia, China. That's why they're getting off the dollar. That's why they're going to gold. That's why another reason why gold is skyrocketing, and I think it'll do better than almost any other asset out there.
Okay. Uncle Milty?
No, I agree. As a matter of fact, I've said we've been at war with China since Biden became president.
Yeah, or before. Really, since Kissinger got in. Honestly, he was handing the reins over, right? 71. But you're right.
But it accelerated.
It accelerated
Biden, for
sure. Yeah. 30 seconds left, Mel. What do you want to let people know?
Last thing, this follows up on Yellen being in China. Mm-hmm. They were talking about dumping green stuff. But this is my own opinion. I also think they were talking about weakening the dollar and that we are going to continue to see a weak dollar and that smart money knows that. That's why the gold just keeps going up every day. It's not giving people a chance to even buy it on a pullback. And so, you know, keep your money diversified, like Milty said. Keep it in things that will go up in an inflationary environment. And gold is at the top of that list.
Yep.
Okay. Mel Madison, the book is Quaz. Go get it. Speaks to a lot of this. It's a great book. And also, just wanted to mention, too, melmadison.com, a great website. And for more on this, actually. So thank you. Be faithful. Be fearless. Always ends too soon, doesn't it, this show? Be faithful. Be fearless out there, you guys. Get to katedalyradio.com. Share the podcast, please. I will put this last segment in its own podcast as well, so you can share that with ease, this last 8 minutes. And, of course, see you tomorrow.